afternoon or evening, afternoon everyone. You're welcome to stand with us. As we start our first song, if you're in the foyer, you're welcome to move in or find a seat. Before we start, let's just close our eyes and pray quickly. Father, we just thank you that we could be here today, Father, and we just thank you for, what a blessing it is to gather as a family and together as a kingdom. Family, Father God, in this place, and to come and bring you praise and worship that you deserve, Father. And we just pray, Lord, that our hearts are going to be open and ready for what you want to share today, Lord, and that we can really just have fun and enjoy your presence today, Father God. In Jesus' name.
Stand with us again. What a privilege this is. I just felt to share this scripture with us. This week I was thinking the enemy really likes to challenge our identity, who we are in Christ. And then I read the scripture and I was just reminded about who we are. So it's Galatians 3, verse 26. And it says, "For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise." So all the promises we read of Abraham and Moses and Daniel and all those people in the Old Testament, we are the same seed. So God, we are one in his family. And I was just so encouraged by that. So I just want to say to our church and to us as a church that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I just want to pray for us and we can go back into worship. Lord, we thank you that we are one in your family, Lord. We thank you that we are children in your house, Father. And we thank you that we can approach you with reverence this afternoon, Father. We can approach you with love and with grace and with honor, Father. We thank you that you are seated on your throne, Father, and that you are high and lifted up, Lord. And we thank you for this time of worship and thank you that it may be blessed and it may be a time that we will really experience your presence, Lord. And we thank you that you are present here before we even came, Lord. We acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, and we acknowledge you as the one seated up above, enthroned, Father. And we thank you that you're here with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your faithfulness, oh God.
'Twas grace, 'twas grace that tore my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. just take a moment to sing Great Are You, Lord.
Breath into the nostrils of Adam, and it's from that same breath, Lord, where we can sing and we can praise your name over you. You've given us that breath, Lord. The breath is from you, Lord, and it is for you to glorify your name, to praise your name. You could be singing it, Great are you, Lord, Father. We want to experience it again, Lord, with having an encounter, having an appointment with you this afternoon, Father, that we become aware of how great and how awesome how almighty you are, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to give an opportunity, if you attended the sermon last week, if something happened during the sermon with you and you didn't testify about it, if something happened with you during the week, because I've been praying that the Holy Spirit is really going to give you something which you people didn't have before. And I would like to hear. I'd like to hear what the Holy Spirit has done. It's not for me. It's just testifying again how awesome God is and how great and how wonderful he is that we can serve him.
Okay, so 3 weeks ago we had Encounter 2, and I was told by one of my friends that she, at her Encounter 2, she got her ability to speak in tongues. So obviously I did Encounter 1, and I was like, oh, it's so exciting. And then at Encounter 1, Tani Renee asked, but who would want to, like, get the ability to speak in tongues? So me and another pair, we stood up, and people prayed for us in their own tongues, and also, like, normal prayer. And it didn't come. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to be bummed out about it. And then a lot of people came to me and said, it doesn't come quickly. You have to, like, work on it. And I was praying to God, and I was like, please, I need this. Like, in the Bible it says, you have your tongues to fortify a spirit, to make you a stronger person. So I was like, okay, God, please, I want this. And the next encounter came and nothing happened. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm not praying hard enough. And then the next day, Uncle Darkan started talking about how the sermon, he's going to do something else. He's going to speak in tongues. And I was like, this is my chance. I know now. And it was in 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, I was praying. And then, like, it just, like, gushed out of my mouth. And it just came. And I felt so, like, enlightened. But, like, I felt so light inside. And I was like, I got it. And it was just, it moved me so much. Like, the Holy Spirit was inside me. It was with me. And I got all these images. Everything felt so clear. And was just amazing. So, yeah.
Amen. Awesome. Anyone else who would like to share something? When I was preparing for the sermon this week, I was listening to songs. And as the songs were finished, I wrote down one word which I felt which was in that song, which was important in that song. And after three songs, I had three words. And I asked them, I said, Lord, but where do I have to preach about? And the Lord said, preach about those three words. So I'm going to preach today about three words. I'm going to do it one by one. I'm not going to give you all three at once. I'm going to do it one by one. The first one is going to be a little bit longer. But again, it's what we've been singing just now as well. God is great. And then the first word what I got from that song was almighty. God is almighty. This is how God introduced himself. If we take a look at Genesis 17, verses 1 and 2, God is basically introducing him then to Abraham. He was not Abraham yet, but he was Abraham. And where he is confirming again who he is. And then he says over there, when Abraham was 99 years old, it's very old, I'm already old, but that's really old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. And Almighty, what that word actually means, El Shaddai, that is the other word which is used for it. El means God, and Shaddai means Almighty. There is not another description for that. It's just simply Almighty. So it doesn't matter which language you go, if it is Dutch or if it's going to be any other language all over the world, it is Almighty above all. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. This is what the Lord is saying then to Abraham. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And then the covenant afterwards is that Abraham circumcised everybody in his house, including himself. And that's a symbol then. From the circumcision is the symbol then from the government of covenant. At the end of the sermon, we're going to have the symbols of bread and wine, of the covenant, what God has got with us through Jesus Christ. In Genesis, God said, I'm Almighty. In Revelations, he's repeating it. He has been repeating it so many times in between Genesis and Revelations. In Revelations 1 verse 8, he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It was funny when I just now had a look at the cookies what we've got over there at the table. It's all from the alphabet. And it's about the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. God is including everything, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty. You cannot argue about it. God is Almighty. It's not negotiable. That is what he is. And then the name Almighty also implies that God has got the might, he's got the power, he's got the strength to do anything what he wants to do. We were talking on Thursday evening, we were talking to somebody in town, me and Renee, and we spoke a little bit more than half an hour with that person. He knows about the gospel. He knows about Jesus Christ. He knows about God. But then there's somewhere we also must think about Allah, because he thinks that will also fit in somewhere. The Hindus are not totally wrong. Then he's got something from the Buddhism as well. He made his own God. What fits in his way of living. He's not looking what God is actually writing down, what God's saying in the Bible, but he takes whatever he takes, what he wants, and he makes then his own God. And it was surprisingly, again, when we looked at each other, we actually felt, yeah, we would like to take the guy and shake him a little bit and say, guy, read the Bible and this and that and that. But okay, you can't do that. But we trust that it is going to happen. We prayed for him as well, that he's going to open up the Bible, that he's going to read more of who God actually is. He's Almighty. I'm going to try to describe the word Almighty a little bit and what it actually entails and what is included in the word Almighty. First one is that God cannot be stopped from what he's doing. He's Almighty. We cannot tell God what to do. We cannot manage God. We cannot stop him. And the example over here is actually for me is an awesome example that a pagan person, a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, is actually testifying who God is. So it's not somebody who's got a relationship with God, but it's somebody who experienced what God actually did in his life. And it starts in verse 30. I'm going to jump a little bit so you can read along with me, but I'm the last part, I will read it totally then. So it is where the king was standing over there. And then he's saying, is this not the great Babylon that I've built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? It was all about himself. All about himself. This is what he was. And then a voice from heaven came and said, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you. So it has been taken away from you. And they shall drive you from man, and your dwelling will be with the beast of the field. So he's been along with the cows and with the other. So from king, he's been to an animal, eating grass and things like that. Until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and gives it to whomever he chooses. So God is saying over there, until you are going to recognize me, you're going to be like an animal and eat grass. And at the end of the time of those seven periods, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. So what happened? He looked up to heaven. He recognized God. And then the understanding came back again. Then he could understand where it was actually going about. And my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him for who lives in me forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is for generations to generations. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand. We cannot tell God what to do. We cannot say, okay, you've got to do this, or you've got to do that, or you've got to do, this is what I'm looking for. We can't do that. God is above that. He cannot be stopped from what he is doing. In the last sentence, or that we can say to him, what have you done now? Where are you busy with, God? Couldn't you speak to me first before you started this or you started that? No, we can't. God is almighty. He's above all. We cannot stop him from doing anything. So it's actually so awesome to see that the Gentile, that King Nebuchadnezzar is testifying over here what God has been doing in his life. We can see the same in Jonah as well, where they were in the boat and then a storm came and then the people came to Jonah and then Jonah said, but you've got to pray to God. And then they started praying to God, that the Gentiles recognized God and they started praying. And Nebuchadnezzar is doing exactly the same over here. God is also doing whatever he pleases. And pleases is basically part of his will. David is writing it in Psalm 115. He says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. So we cannot tell God what to do. We cannot prescribe God what to do. Isaiah is also in talking about it in Isaiah 46. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. God again, he's giving that declaration. He's God. There's no other God. There's nothing which is level with him. There's nothing which is above him. I am God and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasures. He will do whatever he wants to do. We cannot prescribe God. And what God is doing then, God is doing his will, but he's always consistent. It's not that God is today doing this and tomorrow that, and maybe if he's had a bad night, he will do something else. God is always consistent with his plans. And that's an awesome thing to know that we're serving a God who's almighty, who's always doing the same, and that is his plans, and he's not deviating from that. The third thing what he is doing is his power is superior to all other powers. There's nothing which is coming close to it. We can have a look at how many religions there are in the world. We can have a look at how many people have got gods where they bow for, which they've made out of stone and wood and all those type of things. But nobody has got power. It's only God who's got power. God's power is superior to all other powers. And God is almighty. But what does it actually mean for us if God is almighty? If God is almighty, we will have a reverence for him. We will have a deep respect for God. And we must have a deep respect for God. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Again, it wasn't God here in Job 37 talking over here. It was Eliun. And he's proclaiming God's majesty when he says, as for the Almighty, we cannot find him. He is excellent in power. His judgment and abundant justice, he does not oppress. God is not oppressing us. He's not looking down on us. He's not depressing us. God is there for us. And there's a deep respect from Eliun, what God is concerned. And that is sometimes which is missing, that we haven't got, and what, like I said, what we experienced on Thursday evening again, people haven't got a respect for God. God is, it's something, they nearly want to put God in the top of a box, open it up, take out God when they think they need him, and put him back again, maybe go to church on a Sunday, but on a Monday morning, put him back again, close the door, and leave God, and do not have a communication, do not have a relationship with God. But God is almighty. We cannot handle that. We can't do it like that. And when I was busy with the sermon as well, I became aware again is that God is almighty. It is, we can't do anything else than acknowledging that. And our life should reflecting it to the other people around us, that they can see that this person has got a relationship, a living relationship with a living God. The next thing, what it also means to us, as there is a God who's almighty, God is also going to judge. There is going to be a day when Jesus is going to come back. Jesus came the first time to save us. And we've got time now to accept that invitation to be saved. But Jesus is going to come back, and then he's going to judge. That is also included in the Almighty. What is going to happen, that there is going to be a judgment. 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't like to evangelize and say turn or burn. It's not a way, but it is true. We've got limited time, and the people outside have got limited time. We've got to tell them that God loves them. They've got limited time to accept that invitation to be with God forever and ever. And the third thing, what it means that God is almighty, it's David is saying it awesome in Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. He's mentioning four places over there. The secret place. And a secret place is a shelter. He is undercover with God. God is covering him. God is giving him protection, because he is going close to God. I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now we know if we want to be in the shadow of somebody or something, then we've got to come close to that person, or we've got to come close to the thing, otherwise we're not getting much shadow from there. But if we come into the shadow of that person is protecting us. God is protecting us. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Refuge again is a shelter. It's a place where you can trust, where you are. It's going to give you a covering. And the last one is fortress. And fortress has got to do with power. It is a castle, a defense. It's a stronghold. It's a strong place. And it's protecting us from an attack. So what David is saying over here, if we are close to God, and if we recognize that he is almighty, we're covered, we're undercovering. We don't have to worry about it, because we can be in a secret place, in a shadow. We can be in a refuge, and we can be in his fortress. All these things have got to do is, how close am I to God? The closer I can get to God, the more I'm aware of it, what he's doing, the more benefit, and the more happiness, and the more joy, and the more content I can become, because I know who I am and with whom I know who I am. And if I'm close to God, I can experience the presence of God. And when we accept God, God Almighty is our protection. If we're not accepting God, then God is just a book. The Bible is a book. It doesn't mean anything to us. But if we accept Jesus Christ, then we can receive him as our protector. So the three things, we've got a deep respect for God, there is going to be a judgment day for our enemies, and God is giving us a shelter, a shadow, a refuge, a fortress. And he's not giving it just for a limited time, he's giving it forever and ever. And that's the next word what I got with the other song, and that is forever. Now we know the two things what they always say, you're sure about what's going to happen in your life. It's the one, you're going to die. And the other way, we've been speaking about a little bit earlier now, with what Jesus asked, you're going to pay taxes. So those things is going to happen. But if we're going to die, something is going to happen. We are going to a place where we're going to be forever and ever. And it's also a very difficult thing to understand. We experience it on a regular basis on a Thursday, that the people cannot understand it, that God is, he's got a plan that he wants to be with us forever and ever. There's no end. We know everything has got to end. A bar of chocolate has got to end. A bucket of ice cream has got to end. A sermon has got to end. Your period at school, it has got to end. Everything has got to end. But if we accept Jesus Christ, and if we're going to be with the Father in heaven, there is no end. It is going to carry on and carry on and carry on, and it doesn't stop. And that is something which is very difficult sometimes to understand it if we take a look at what's happening in our earthly life. Everything has got to end. But being with God is endless. There's no end to it. In the Old Testament, I'm just taking two examples. The one example is coming out of the Old Testament with David is talking about forever, that he did in Psalm 136, where he says, "Of give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And for the whole psalm, each and every time, the second line, "For his mercy endures forever." And why could David write that? How is it possible that David could write those type of things? Because he spent time with the Lord. He had that experience with the Lord. And I've been wondering about it. Because David had a few wives, which means he had also a few mother-in-laws, because that's coming along with a wife. If you get a wife, then you also get a mother-in-law. So then he had a few kids and quite a few kids as well. Then on top of it, he was a king of a country as well. So that guy must have been reasonably busy. If we take a look at how many music instruments he designed and he developed, if we take a look at how many psalms he has been writing, and then the psalms are reflecting how much time he spent with God. I don't know how many hours he had, but he must have had 36 or maybe 48 hours a day. I don't know. But you can read it. You can read it in the lines over there. And I'm grateful for that, that David is giving that to us. For his mercy endures forever. In the New Testament, I took something out of Revelation. And in Revelation, we find the word forever. We find it quite often, which for me is showing again, that's the future. That's God's plan. That's what's coming. Revelation is God is revealing the plan, what he's got for us. And I actually took the whole scripture because I find it, that we have a little bit of a look at what is actually happening in heaven. What are they doing over there? What is keeping them busy? Revelation 7 verses 9 to 12. "After these things I looked and behold, a great multitude which no one could number." And I'm grateful for that. That there are going to be many, many, many people in heaven with whom we are going to be there. "Of all nations, tribes, people, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our Lord, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" They're speaking English over there. So the people who are having all those different tongues and all those different languages, it seems to me we're going to speak English in heaven over there. But it's so awesome what is in there. "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.'" There's no end. It's going to carry on forever and ever. Amen. And then in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22 verses 5, again, forever and ever. It's talking about light. And it's also interesting if we take a look at Jesus when he started preaching, one of the first examples what he used is the salt and the light. And then God is talking about the light over there. "There shall be no light there," and that means in heaven. "There shall be no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light." So we're going to experience the light which is coming from God. In the temple as well, in the Holy of Holiest, there was no light. There was no globe. There was no 220 or 380 or anything like that. It was God over there. He was lighting up the place. And God is making that promise over here as well. That's what's going to happen in heaven as well. Lord is going to give, the Lord God is going to give us light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So we're going to be in the presence of Lord. We are going to see what is happening over there because we are close to God. We are going to experience the light over there. Again, be in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to experience it forever. The third word which I got was everything. Now, everything is a word which is including everything. It's, yeah, nothing is excluded. It's, everything is included. God created everything. It's for me always fascinating to hear all those scientists where they're talking about, but that plant is a family of that plant, and it's a family, and that is linked, and you can see this, and you can, it's repeated there again, and that animal has got something from this, and all, it's all fine. Everything has been created by God. As easy as that. Everything what we see around us has been created by God. The other everything is everything what we've got. Everything what we've got belongs to God. Nothing is ours. We received it as a gift from God. So if you've got brains that you're very clever and you're busy with your third or your fourth degree, give the honor to God. God gave it to you. If you've got a lot of money on the bank, maybe a very good transaction, God gave it to you. And if we understand that, that everything what we've got belongs actually to God, then it's so much easier because that stuff is not managing you anymore. You can take a little bit of a distance from that. That's not keeping your mind continuously busy. Everything belongs to God. And we've got to say thanks for everything what we receive from the Lord. In Philippians 4 verses 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requirement be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. In everything, by prayer and supplication. And supplication means actually petitioning. If God has given you a promise, or God promised something in your word, we can go back to God and we say, but this is what has been promised in your word. And Lord, I'm waiting for that. It has got to be done. We can, with prayer and supplication, we can come to God. And once we do that, and it says over here, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If we know that everything what we've got belongs to God, and we can thank Him for that, it gives us peace, because we're not worried about it. There's a saying which says, if you haven't got any money in the bank, then it's actually when you are happy, because you don't have to worry. If you're owing the bank some money, then the bank manager has got a problem. And if you've got money, a bank balance, if you've got a savings account, you've got some money over there, then you're also a little bit worried if the bank is still going to be there tomorrow or not. So if you haven't got any money, then you can actually sleep safe. Over here as well is, be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Everything belongs to God. And we should have an attitude of thanksgiving, continuously saying thanks to God. Here in the Netherlands, if the sun is shining, then we're thanking the Lord for that, because it doesn't happen too much. In other parts of the world, if it is raining over there, just a few raindrops, they say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. In Africa, nearly all over the continent, blessing, if the rain is seen as a blessing. Even if your wedding, if it is raining on your wedding, it's seen as a blessing. In Acts, Paul is also writing about everything. He's explaining to people over there in Greece, or what is actually in Athens, what is happening over there. God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He does not dwell in temple made with hands. And Paul was standing over there after he saw that there was a statue over there for a God without a name. And then he said, but I want to explain you a little bit about that God. And then he says, God who made the world and everything in it. Because what the Greek had, they had one God for the animals, they had a God for the human beings, they had a God for fertility, they had a God for rain, they had a good God for winter, they had a God for summer, they had so many gods. For everything, they had something. And they were not quite sure, so they made another God for, if we maybe missed on one of those gods, then the God without a name. And then Paul said, that's that God who covers all the other gods and is actually above it, because that God is spelled with a capital and not with a small letter. And what Paul is saying over there, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. They had a temple for each and every god. And Paul is most probably talking about the Parthenon, the temple over there in Athens, where he was standing over there. God doesn't need a temple. Yes, we are a temple for the Holy Spirit. But God is in heaven. We're not limiting him in a temple. He's everywhere. We can experience his presence. God designed everything. God created everything. God is holding everything in being. And God governs everything. Everything is about God. And everything in our life should be about God. John Piper made the statement, Jesus must be everything to us, or he is nothing. If Jesus is not everything in our life, we are limiting. We're making him smaller as what he actually is. Jesus must be everything in our life. Jesus must be everything to us. And if he's not having that position in our lives, then Jesus is actually nothing for us. Please stand. Heavenly Father, you are almighty. There's nobody above you. There's nobody who's got the same powers as what you've got. You're above all, Father. And you want to be with us forever and ever. There's no end to it. You want to spend time with us forever and ever. And you're handing out those invitation cards with the gospel to all the people all over the world. We also receive those invitation cards, and we've got to react, Lord, that we can be with you forever and ever. And God, you created everything. You didn't share it with somebody else's creation. You made everything, everything what is on this earth and in creation, what we can see in the atmosphere, in the universe, has been created by you, Father, and we thank you for that. And we also thank you, Lord, for this is what you've been given to us, that everything what we've got, everything what we have, our body, our mind, our brains, whatever we can do, the work what we've got, the money what we've got, the children what we've got, everything, everything is coming from you, Father. And today we're just standing in awe again, Father. Just become quiet and we say, Lord, it's so many times that we limit you, Father. We make you smaller as what you actually are. We take that mighty out of the almighty. And we put a limit to the things what we expect from you. And we only think that you can only do certain things, and for the rest we've got to do it ourselves. And as the people's eyes are closed at the moment, if you may be one of those who feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you now and you say, you've been limiting God. And you've been quenching God. And I'm talking about God, including Jesus Christ, and what Jesus has been doing for us, and the Holy Spirit. And you want to bring it to God, and you want to pray about it, then I'm inviting you to come forward that we can pray along with you. And if you say, but I've never made that decision, I've never made God the creator of heaven and earth, the king in my life. I was always king. And I've never made him king in my life. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I never understood that he died for all my sins so that I could have got free access to the Father. And if you may be one of those never took that decision, then I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to stir your heart, that you can say, yes, I want to come forward. I want to make that commitment this afternoon. I want to be closer to God because I'm too far away. I'm limiting God. I'm not giving all the honor and glory what he should get. I'm not making him great what he is, what we've been singing as well. We are going to worship a song or two. If you would like to remain and sing along, you're welcome. If you would like to go for a cup of coffee or chat to somebody, you're welcome to go next door. The small door at the back is open. It can be used. And I pray that this week is going to be a time again where you're going to experience what God has been doing for us, that we can realize again that we serve an almighty God, that we're going to be with him forever and ever. Have a blessed evening and a blessed week.
Oh, how we love you. Is all I see. wanna take your word and shine it all around. First help me just to live it, Lord. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown, for my reward is bringing glory to you. Your grace abounds to me.